I hope you guys are blessed. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey. The statutes of the Lord are rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the more to be. Desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey. Is thy servant warned? Is thy servant warned? And in keeping of them, there is great reward.
Morning, church.
Good morning.
I thought Joshua was my friend, but it seemed like I have more to learn about Joshua. I didn't know he was a musician. Yes. And a singer in Zion. So we praise God for that. It's amazing what God can do if we only show obedience. And maybe one day Joshua would be doing his own recording. We never know. But it all starts by obedience to God's calling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of people started out by listening to God and later on they walk away from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have seen so many great musicians that have started off with God being praised.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, they give the enemy the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the end of them had become to very tragic, sad ending.
Mm-hmm.
So Joshua, we are not here to laugh at you. We are here to say to God be the glory.
Yes.
For the great things that he have done.
Amen.
This morning, as we think about the condition of our world, if I was to ask you this morning what the world need now, what would you say?
That's love.
Love. The, not any love, but the love of God. For we learn that the love of God transformed and renewed the hearts of men. Homes are broken. Lives are broken. Schools are broken. You can't even go out and said you are safe to back, return back home. That's how sad it is. Somebody had some evil thought and plan in their mind. But I want to tell you, despite how the church might look even today, the church is the greatest entity on earth. Because we have a hope and a future.
Yes.
And though sometimes it seems like the church is sleeping, let me tell you something. Little is much when God is in it.
Yes.
What we need to do is to make sure that we are not the sleepers.
Right.
Everybody else is sleeping. Make sure that we stay awake. Because good things is about to happen. And so, I entitled my sermon this morning, "Ye Are My Friends." Just think for a moment. Have you ever encountered someone that becomes so close to you that you can actually finish what they said, the statement gotta be?
Oh, yeah.
I watched that with my mom and my dad over the years. They grow so much together that one would start a statement and the other one would finish it.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know that that was possible until I come to this church and have a brother here that is closer than my own brothers. And many times we have to say, how did you know that I was going to say that? But by the time we finish, we are in harmony. And I think that's what God intended for the church to be. A community of oneness and togetherness. And we can only become this community when Jesus Christ is the anchor of our soul. We sing some nice songs this morning. You know, but I don't want us to just sing songs. I want us to live the songs that we are singing, the words of the song. When Jesus said that, "I am the vine," I want us to stay in our place. Many times we want to be the vine and Jesus be the branches, but guess what? It doesn't work that way. Let's remember who Jesus is. He is the vine. He's the source that we draw our strength, nourishment from, and our souls cannot be nourished in any other way than Jesus Christ being divine. And when we drink from him, we will be able to bear fruits for his kingdom. And in our pruning, when we have been pruned by God, let us not be upset in our pruning, because the pruning is for us to bear more fruits. And when we are bearing fruits, I always look at the trees out there. We didn't plant them, but we eat from them. And they never said to us one day, don't pick from me because you are not the planter. My brothers and sisters, this church is the apple of God's eyes. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning, we cannot even fathom the gratitude and the greatness of your love towards humanity. As we come this morning, oh God, though we might be few here, we pray, God, that this place may be full and running over with the influence and the power of your Holy Spirit. That on this day, God, we may remember that we had experienced you like we have never experienced you before. May you saturate each heart. May you open our ears, oh God. And Father, I pray today that if someone here or any one of us that is denying you from being divine, that bring fruit bearing to our hearts, God, I pray, whatever the obstacles are, you may prune it away so that we may be able to bear fruit for your kingdom. We beg and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to the scripture reading this morning. We'll be taken from the book of John, chapter 15. And I read in your hearing, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he prune them, that it may bring forth more fruit. The other day we were in Jamaica, and we were heading to the airport. We were on time. And as we travel, we see the brakes lights start to flicker. Then we come to a halt. Now we have a deadline to catch our flight. And we try to detour. We come back right in the traffic. So by this time, the flight's supposed to be nine something. By this time, we watch 7 o'clock pass, we watch 8 o'clock pass, and we watch minutes to nine. So by this time, we said, you know, we lose the flight. And the lady that were taking us to the airport, she doesn't like the highway. She take the local road. And if it was a highway, would have make it long, long time. And so I was calm. Normally, my wife would tell you I would be very, you know, man, let me drive or something. We just relax. Get to the airport, take out our luggage, get to the counter. The lady said to us that you are lucky this morning. The flight had been delayed for 2 hours. Amen. And I said to the lady at the counter, I said, you know, I'm not going to get upset this morning because the flight is delayed because, you know, it's in my own interest. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, sometimes our lives take turns. Don't be angry at God, because the turn that you take is for your own benefits. And this is why I see sometimes people getting frustrated with God and upset with God, but you never know why God allow you to detour for a moment. The problem is when you get to the place where you stop trusting God, that's where the danger is. And I want to tell you, if God is your vine, it doesn't matter how you look as a branch, you will bear fruit for his kingdom. And when God is the vine and you are the branches that have been nourished, you will never too old to bear fruits for the kingdom of God. Have you ever had a friend who let you down? Break your heart because you have shared your private life with them and they go abroad and tell everybody? go about and tell everybody, and then you become ashamed because, you know, of the gossip and the hurt and the pain. And so you don't even want to go into the public anymore. And then you become depressed and burdened down and hurt. And you are so broken that you don't have it in you to trust anyone anymore. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. When every man on earth fail you, Jesus never fail you. Amen. You can trust him with your secret because he already know all that you have done. So for us who have done something wrong and we are running away, we should be running to Jesus Christ. Because when you get to Jesus, guess what? Burdens are lifted at Calvary. He will heal your broken heart. He will set your captivity, the mind of captivity, free. And he will give you joy in your heart so you can sing a song like what we sing this morning. I can just imagine Jesus talking to the disciples, and then he gets to the place to say that you are my friend, the friend of God. Remember now that these apostles were not perfect. Sometimes we are looking for friends who are perfect. Our friends should be what we hope them to be. Because a lot of time, the people that you trust are your worst enemy. And the person that you don't see as someone who is worthy to be your friend is the person who have your desire to for you to do well. Jesus said that the branch cannot bear no fruit. If you are not connected to him, no fruit bearing. But when we are connected to him, no matter how severe the storm is, we will still be able to bear fruit. Your homes might be broken. Your marriage might be on rock. But God is still able to use you to bless somebody. You might never grow up with a father. You may never know the love of a father, but with the love of Jesus Christ, he can heal that brokenness, that sadness that you have experienced not having a father. And many of us, we have never been loved by men. We have never been loved. We always been accused, someone always accusing you. You never experience what true love is. Let me tell you this morning, when you are anchored in Jesus Christ, he repaid all that you have lost and more. He have more to give to you than what any human being can give to you. I have a friend in Jamaica. He's my friend now for over 40 years. And every time I go to Jamaica, I look forward to see my friend. And he always come. No matter how busy he is, he always take time out to come and we talk about the good old days. But as much as he is my friend, I find a greater friend in Jesus. One day, because we used to drive along and, you know, have a drink sometime. One day he came to the house and he said to me, are we going to have a drink? I said, man, I don't drink anymore. He said, are you kidding me? I said, whatever you want to drink, I'll give it to you, but I don't drink anymore. And so and then I told him that in Jesus Christ, I found what I'm looking for. And so many of us, we are still searching. We are still searching to have an anchor. But let your anchor be in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, especially at this time in life when we looked and we see the unrest that is happening in our world. I was watching the news the other day and someone said that in all the history of the world, it is the first time they ever see such a great migration. Somebody is looking for something better than what they have. And the church have something to offer to the world And yet still many of us are ashamed to offer it. Sometimes we go out and instead of we standing up for Jesus, we cover Jesus in a cloak. And so we walk away ashamed. Oh, I have a chance to tell somebody about my friend Jesus, but I didn't do it. The pastor talked about us planning for South Stratford. Let us plan for our neighbors also. Because you see, we want to tell others that Jesus is worthy to be praised, no matter what is happening. That Jesus is the lifeline for the future. No Jesus, no life. If you don't have Jesus, no matter what else you have, you will die a wretched, poor sinner. Jesus said, because I love you, I will lay down my life for you. And we know that he was not just talking, because later on, Paul declared in the book of Romans chapter 5 that while we were yet his enemy, while we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. My brothers and sisters, when Christ calls you and tell you that he loves you, he doesn't call you and tell you he loves you because you are good, but because he is good. And if we believe that, then everyone else that we see, we would treat them the same way. I love you not because you are good, but because God is good. And then what do you think would happen to our church? Our church would be more healthy. We would be more loving and compassionate and kind because we would have seen that God had forgiven even me. And who am I to hold grudges against others? When we look even now at our churches, the enemy is trying to bring discord. And he's trying to start a campaign. And so, you know, he start a little campaign over here and, you know, the gossip start here and then it go over here and then another group over here and, oh, you know, I don't like that group over here. And we go to the group that we are more favored in. But should that be so in the church of God? If Jesus is divine, should that be the attitude of the church? Or should be the church be saying, God, you have shown me favor. You have forgiven me of my sins and my trespasses. God, no matter what my brothers and sisters do to me, give me that desire to forgive them and to love them. And what a healthy church it would be. You know, sometimes, brethren, we have to come down to where we are. Because sometimes when we talk up there, it's not what the people need. They need to know that Jesus Christ loves you. And no matter what you do, he will forgive you if you confess your sins. So many of us, we have friends, and when they break our hearts and they come back and said, I'm sorry, we said, you know what? I forgive you, but you stay over there. What if God would do that to us? Where we go to him and we say, God, my father, we have sinned. And he said, it's okay. But guess what? There's still no place in the kingdom for you. How would you feel? How would you feel? The Bible teaches that when we confess our sins, God forgive us. He cleaned the records and he hold no records of wrong against us. Why can't the church of God be that way? We were talking in Sabbath school this morning. Some people don't come to church because they hear that somebody says something bad about them. 20, 30 years and they still is angry. Why can't we come to the cross of Jesus Christ where we know that there is grace and mercy? Where our broken heart can be healed. When we stay away from the church, we will never be healed because Jesus Christ is our healer. And the only time we can get healing is at the cross of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, time is of the essence. It is time for the church of God to pull together. Stop going into little groups and talk bad about the next group. The Bible says that if we believe that we are the body of Christ, wherever is hurting, we should be hurting. And so for me, and I am saying this to you, because it's so easy to take sides. It's so easy to say, yes, you're right. You know, what you're saying is right. But may God help us to say, my brother, my sister, I hear what you're saying, but let's pray that the person may be healed. Because when the body's broken, it looks bad in Christ, especially the church. When something bad happened in the church, they don't say, is Sister Marge do it? They said the church at Brooklawn. And so the whole church is tainted because of one person's mistake or fault. But the Bible teaches that love covers a multitude of sin. And this is why Jesus could look at the disciple and said, ye are my friends. Not because you are good, but because of the goodness of my Father. If he abide in me and my word abide in you, he shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit, so shall he be my disciples. We are not here just to become stagnant. We are here to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. So we are in this together to harvest the field. And Jesus said that the field is ripe. And so we must be united in gathering the grains from the field. This is not scattering time. This is gathering time. The sowing is over. It's reaping time. And there are many hearts out there that are waiting to see us express the love of God so they can say, wow, I want what you have. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to catch ourselves, even when we go out and we talking amongst our friend, we talk bad about the church, but yet still would like to see them in the church. The love that we should express should cover the multitude of sin. And we are not saying that we are condoning sin. What we are saying is that our love should show that, look, despite your weakness, we are here for you. We want you to be redeemed and to be restored back into the fellowship with God and with us. And if we would practice that, my brothers and sisters, guess what? There would not be so many hurting people in our world. It's amazing when you look at the government here and you look at the tit for tat, all the evil that is going on, and this one is trying to make sure that I bring you down, and by the time they try to bring you down, something come up about this one, and they start over here, and the wrestling and the tussle just going on. That should not be in the Lord's church. Despite we have a passage here, that should not be that we are on this side and we are that side. We are in one building, and the maker is God. And so when we look across, I should see myself over there. And when you look across, you should see yourself over here, because we are one in Jesus. That's why the scripture said, who shall separate us from the love of God? Is famine or tribulation, a pestilence or sword? We are more than conquerors in Jesus. And so, even with our children that are out there, we need to make sure that we are anchored in the word of God, so when we go into prayer, God will hear our prayer. We were talking that sometimes we don't even take time out to meditate upon God's goodness. Why are we so busy? What are we busy doing? Why is the gospel the last thing on our mind when it is our future? Why aren't we spending time with Jesus? So that when we walk down the road, they can say that you look like someone else. And we can tell them about the love of God. You remember with the disciples, after a while when they have been with Jesus so long and they walk, they said, these men had been with Jesus. They look like him, they talk like him, they walk like him, they eat like him, they laugh like him. Jesus is our example. And when we are anchored in his love, when we are connected to the vine, we will become like the vine. Because all the nourishment from the vine that come to the branch will reflect that we are connected. We lost it. And the gospel is so simple that everybody is trying to bring the gospel in a way that is so intellectual. The gospel is simple. We need to practice what Jesus give us. And start make it become scientific. It's practical. Loving your neighbor is practical. Loving your wife is practical. It's not something that you have to go to school to do. You learn it by giving yourself to your spouse and to the Lord. Because if the Lord is not in it, guess what? You labor in vain. As soon as pastor says something, sister, you let's say, you know what? It's over. But when the Lord is in it, you're going to come back and say, you know what? I forgive you. Because when I think about all that I have done, Jesus Christ had forgiven me. And because he first loved me, I ought to love you also. That's what the church need. We need to come back to basic. Where we are not so busy that we cannot break bread. When you have fellowship, sometimes you have fellowship and you don't watch the time. You hope that the time doesn't end because you are so connected. You are so in tune with each other. Today we are so busy. You call for a men breakfast and you can't find two men to be at the breakfast. You bring the food and you have to take it back home. Nobody want anything. Our women ministry breakfast. Or a family ministry. Everybody is so busy. Oh, everything is okay in my family. Really? We need to come back to basic where Jesus Christ is the anchor, the foundation. And when Jesus Christ is the foundation, it means that the building will be strong and it will be firm. That's what we need. We are saying that the world need now is love. You know, they just came out with a movie about Bob Marley. And as much as Bob Marley had done for the world, he cannot even be one drop as to what Jesus Christ had done for us. Not even one drop. And you know what? Many are lining up to go see this movie. And when, look at the church. The doors are open, but few people are coming to the church. So what are we doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? Why our true master, who is worthy to be praised, is not being lifted up? You know how many years Bob Marley died now? But yet still, he still have an impact on the world. And Christ's impact is even greater. But you see, unless we are excited about Jesus Christ, nobody would even know that we know him. We don't talk about him. Do you talk about your friends? You don't brag about your friends that, you know, I tell you about my friends that we have been for 40 odd years. Do we really talk to people about Jesus Christ and let them know that, man, despite all that is happening here, I have a future guarantee? How do you know that you have a future? Because Jesus told me so. And because he cannot lie, because he's not a man, I am anchoring my faith upon his word. And when you do that, I have a friend up in Easton, and we like to talk. And every time I get a chance, I try to tell her that, look, don't believe in evolution. Evolution does not guarantee you anything but Jesus Christ, the one who died on Calvary cross to set sinners free, including you and I. In him, I have this hope. In him, I am sure that if I trust him, if I give my all to him, he will honor me in the last days.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, the clock is ticking and the world is dying. Every day, people are dying not knowing that there is a Savior. People are dying from loneliness. They don't have a friend. So many would ask, do you have a friend? No, I don't have a friend. Can you just imagine how lonely a lot of the world is? And then when you don't have a friend, you fall into depression and anxiety. And then you go on all these medications. And if you would only trust Jesus Christ, a lot of those pain and suffering and those pills that you're taking, you would not have to take them. And the pills does not guarantee you anything, but you have to take them tomorrow. When the sun set you free, you are free indeed. When he make you whole, you are whole forever. Brothers and sisters, Christ is coming again. And I want to say soon, based upon the signs of the time. But what good is it if Jesus should come and we didn't do anything good for him? We'd just be wasting time. We'd just be saying that, look, I'm obligated to be in church. But why are you here? Are you here because the love of Christ draw you? Are you here because he first loved you and you want to love him? Why are you here? What is our purpose here? Are we come to see who is preaching this week? Or who is going to do song service? Or who is going to do special music? Why are we here? Are we here because Jesus Christ is worthy of our time and our effort? Is he worthy of your praise? Why are we here? And if we are here because we find something in Jesus that the world does not have to offer, let us express it. Some of us, we don't even want to say amen in church.
Yeah.
It's a problem. You know, sometimes you say amen and you say it too loud and somebody else have a problem with that. You know that, right? Or you say praise the Lord and somebody have a problem with that. But if we were grateful for what Christ have done for us, when we hear somebody say praise the Lord, or when they would say amen here, because we are affirming it.
Yes.
Why? Why is the church like this? You will know that anywhere I go, I'm not ashamed to say praise God. And you can say your amen. I feel good saying praise God. And so, brothers and sisters, I praise God because I know where I have been.
Yeah.
And I'm still on a journey. But my faith and my trust is in Jesus.
Yeah.
And because Jesus tell me that he loved me, not because I am good, but because he's good, I am confident that he will do a work in me that qualify me for heaven.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what you want to say about me. As long as Jesus loves me, that's what counts.
Yeah.
And if Jesus loves me, I am guaranteed a future. So many people leave the church because of what somebody says. It's because we don't know what Jesus have done. Because then we would pray and say, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they have done to your son or your daughter. You understand what I'm trying to say, brethren? We need to go back to the basic. Because we are hurting. And we need to find healing. And the healing can only come when we give of our all to Jesus Christ. And when we give him our hearts and our mind and our body, then we will see that truly the healing will take place. We will learn to forgive and we learn to love again. We are broken. We are broken. And we become fragmented. And as a body, we need to come back together. We need to come back together. We are one. And when we are one, guess what? Though the wind blow, it will not overflow us because we standing strong together. United we are in Christ Jesus. And this is what Jesus is saying. I love you. I love you, Judas. Despite your plan to sell me, I love you. So when Judas leave the presence of Jesus Christ, he remember that Jesus loved him. Even though he doesn't love Jesus, he loved the world more and money. But Jesus tell him that I love you. Peter, who denied Jesus later, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I love you. And to Thomas, who would be doubtful later, Jesus said, Thomas, I love you. And Jesus is telling all of us today that I love you. What are we going to do with the love that Jesus gives to us? Are we going to see him as our friend? Are we going to walk out of here and say, God, I don't trust you because the world have better to offer? Let me tell you something. The world is not real. Whatever it have to offer you will come to naught. But I want to tell you this morning that whatever Jesus Christ give is everlasting. I pray that by God's grace and his mercy that we may anchor ourselves in him. And that we may purpose in our hearts that if someone have done us wrong, we find that person and said, look, I learned something today, that greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend, and Jesus Christ had anchored his love in me, and I want to forgive you. And if we do that, next week when we come, you will find something to praise God about. All right? It's all about praising God because he is worthy to be praised. Brothers and sisters, homes will be better when we start to praise God again. Even if your husband or your wife is not a Christian, by you praising God, guess what's going to happen? It's like singing songs, you know. The other day I sing at church here and my wife said, you sound good. And then I hear her singing the song and I said, you see, you know, because I sing the song in church. Now she's at home and she's singing the song. And sometime, you know, we going out and we start a song and both of us start to sing the song. It means that our hearts are tuned together. You understand what I'm trying to say? So our influence with those around us can be positive or negative. And if we are the light, let our light shine. That's what I'm saying. Because if the light is not shining, then darkness is going to take over. And when darkness take over, we become confused. Let our light shine. And when we sing praises to God, others will join in by praising God because they see that you have this peace of mind and this joy. Oh, I was working up in Easton one time and I used to sing, you know, songs when I'm working and I'm working. And one day I went there and I didn't sing that day. And the little lady came out. She was an elderly lady, maybe in her 80s. And she said, Ray, what happened this morning? You're not singing. And I didn't know that while I was singing, she was enjoying my singing. People take notice of your life. And sometimes you don't have to say anything, but people are watching you. When they watch us, let them see Christ in us. You're working at your workplace and sometimes something not going good. Don't let what the enemy is influencing you to say come out, because somebody might just be listening. Let something come out that remind them that you are anchored, connected in Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be the friends of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when you have a friend, you need to brag about your friend. Others talk about their basketball team and their football team and their netball team and volleyball team and all these teams. But the greatest team that someone can ever be a part of is Team Jesus. And I want to encourage you. Let us find back our place where the Bible is studied. The Word of God. Let it be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Where spiritual hymns are sung, let yourself be there. Where prayer is, find yourself there. Because those are the three things that will nourish your soul in time like these. You see, the devil is a liar, Sister K. He didn't want us to see how many times, how many hours we spend on the television. You see that? That's what the guy was going to talk about this morning. How many hours for the year we spend on the television.
Yep.
And a lot of us are guilty. We sit there and we watch the television, and then when the time comes to spend some time with Jesus, we start to yearning. You know, brethren, let's go back and give Christ first place in our lives. And then we will see. Practice this for a week, and you will see what happened next week. As a matter of fact, 10 days. 10 days, and you will see if your life is not going on the brighter side. 10 days. Putting Jesus Christ first in the morning and putting him first at bedtime. And we will see. For 10 days, and we'll see if our life is not transformed and be renewed by the power of his love. Marriage will be better. Relationship with children will be better. Co-workers' relationship will be better because Jesus Christ will take charge of our thought. And whatsoever come out of our mouth will glorify him. I want to say this morning as I close. The world is dying from loneliness. So many people does not even remember the last time they have a laughter. The heart is drying up because there is no future. We have a future. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. Do you know that the scripture said laughter is good for the soul? Good medicine, right? Better than the pills, right?
Yes.
But it's hard for you to laugh when you are by yourself. So you need people around you to find laughter. And when you have people around you that have the same mind, the laughter become a medicine because you are sure that you are not alone. When you need someone, they will be there. The same way Jesus said, when you call, I will answer. And while you're calling, help is on the way. Brothers and sisters, we have a friend in Jesus, and he's not far away. Instead of us going to someone else who cannot help us, but gonna share our problem with others, let's find the feet of Jesus. And when we find Jesus' feet, we can left with the assurance, and we can sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. May God help us as we continue on our Christian journey.
Amen.